This week in the parish of bourses and market structure, last typhoon call, Kalshi wins case but is stayed, it's Dibor as we bid Bibor to Libor, and DB1's chairman announces his retirement. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 262. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business, sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Over in BitCarnage, a case of global domination one more time as China is urged to establish unified crypto regulations for seized digital assets. It was a tale of everyday world domination from the co-founder of OpenAI via Sam Altman's retina-popping WorldCoin, which seeks Facebook-like scale for global reach, according to The Block. In a move which will surprise zerobody, apart from perhaps the man at the centre of the controversy, it appears even Binance realises that having their previously incarcerated CEO co-founder back in any form of influential role is not viable. Binance CEO says CZ is barred from managing or operating the exchange, ran the headline in Cointelegraph. I don't envy this additional tightrope walk by CEO Richard Tang. The difficulty naturally may be trying to keep CZ away from influencing things indirectly, given his considerable stake in the firm. If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day on Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. In the world of exchanges this week, as Typhoon No. 8 caused a shutdown on the Hong Kong exchanges, is it the final season with new rules on the way to keep Hong Kong market open during extreme weather conditions? The storm clouds remain in Europe pretty much every day. Meanwhile, Faize, in association with Auxerra, issued a note on market data fees and revenues this week, with the bottom line being, data isn't as expensive as many make out. In other news, the consolidated tape is a good idea, but it won't be the panacea miracle for EU capital markets to regain prominence compared to the USA. In other EU news, the EU's preferred Italian PM, when democracy can be sidelined in Italy, of course, Mario Draghi has come up with a mega plan which involves subsidy, public-private partnerships and protectionism, amongst other tactics, to bring back growth to the European Union. I've no faith the EU can subsidise its way to competitiveness hand-in-hand with tariffs et al, but in Brussels there appears to be a belief this Hail Mary pass can work. The report also focuses on central purchasing of mining and other resources, which, as older readers may recall, worked magnificently for the USSR. In other news, even the FT, yes, the Brussels Bugle, is worried that EU red tape may have become excessive. As the London Stock Exchange celebrated the launch of the new main market, many others looked on in concern as the UK trumpets what looks like a duct tape reorganisation of the IPO process, not the meaningful change which is needed to promote growth in the LSE business. Over in the Spanish-speaking world, Instituto BME, the Spanish exchange, signed a collaboration agreement with the Dominican Republic Stock Exchange. That came in the same week we had a fantastic discussion with the head of exchanges for the Six Swiss Exchange Group, and therefore the man overlooking BME as well, Bjorn Sibbern. Coinbase's legal battle with shareholders over SEC action continues, reports Nasdaq. Reading these stories inclines me to the conclusion, while it claims it wants to be more B2B and is delivering a C2C or perhaps B2C model right now, when it comes to litigation, Coinbase is resolutely operating an A-to-A model. Cboe, meanwhile, they've partnered with a UK firm to launch a US private share trading platform, clearly not part of the rationalisation strategy, so presumably Cboe are back looking at ways to find an edge that might help build a listings franchise. To that end, it's an interesting concept, although, in my humble opinion, the large-cap private markets business remains highly cumbersome and one of those markets with siren-like qualities, averting the gaze of exchange execs but not really providing more than a distraction from the main business at hand. That said, NASDAQ Private Markets just put out some quite bullish numbers on their platform, surpassing $500 million in total volume for transfer and settlement solutions this year. The exciting legislative, regulatory and courtroom news of the week, the CFTC order blocking Kalshi election bets was overturned by a US judge after the excitement. Of course, the blob bit back to try to deny Kalshi their major opportunity to have liquidity around the presidential election. As usual, Caroline Pham was the commissioner objecting the most fulsomely to this attempt by the CFTC to push back on Kalshi's courtroom win. That said, hopefully it is just a temporary setback after a judgment which was a blow to the utterly misguided Ben Amira policy of making political markets illegal, along with onions and movie box office. Thus, a court has sided with prediction market Kalshi, who look finally to be breaking through with a product that ought to have been permitted 20-plus years ago and most recently has been delayed by the discredited Benham-era CFTC. Exchange Invest has proudly launched a special edition inspired by my visit to ring the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange on July 5, 2024. Patrick L. Young's original bestseller, Capital Market Revolution, the first breakthrough book in fintech a decade before that word held common currency, has over 10,000 new words of additional pith, placing the past quarter century in perspective alongside the original text, which has proven remarkably successful through the years. Capital Market Revolution 25th Anniversary Edition is published by Exchange Invest and is now available as an ebook via Amazon Kindle at the ludicrously reasonable price of $9.99, a quarter the price of the original shorter print book a quarter century ago. Meanwhile, if you fancy some financial insights with moving pictures, check out our live stream. We're back from our summer break, Tuesday's 5 o'clock London time, midday New York time. It's the IPO video live show. Catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube by IPO-Vid. Now online, magnificent discussion we had this week, as I mentioned earlier, IPO Vid 151 with Björn Sibbern discussing SIX, the Swiss paradigm, from the man who runs all of the SIX Group's stock exchanges and exchange activities, namely the SIX Exchange, STX, and the BME, the Spanish monopolist. Next show is going to be on Tuesday, same time, same place, midday Eastern time. IPO Vid 152 is going to be a very, very interesting show once again. Maureen Downes and Jim Downes are joining us to discuss the future of exchange matching engines with Connemara Technologies. Over in Finance Book of the Week this week, we're looking at Chasing Rainbows, How the Green Agenda Defeats Its Aims, a classic by Tim Worstall, an original and profoundly well-informed tome which, in the name of a green and pleasant world, reconciles mankind to his most aspiring instincts of collective global advancement. But at the same time, the green agenda, well, hashtag it's complicated. Tim Worstall was our IPO Vid 95 episode, What Have We Got in Reserve, guest, incidentally, and a great show that was. Over in product news, the UK Financial Conduct Authority have issued their final announcement regarding the cessation of US dollar LIBOR, and lo, it's BIBOR as LIBOR prepares to be DIBOR. There's a rich irony to the threat to sanction those who dare to continue using LIBOR for commercial purposes, methinks. Meanwhile, the CME Group are going to be launching options on the Bloomberg Commodity Index futures on September the 23rd. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, patrick@derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome, wherever you find this podcast. Technology news this week. Plans for a new EU financial data wire raise fears of a new monopoly, says Euronews. It's progress, but no panacea as the EU consolidated tape inches forward. A pretty useful tool, but the net result may just be greater transparency from a single point to appreciate Europe's inevitable decline. Meanwhile, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, they've rolled out an exchange data to cloud marketplace built with Data BP. Congratulations to all parties there. Over in regulatory news, the SEC's Gensler sees his ESG plans thwarted as Biden's term nears end, noted Bloomberg Law News. This has been a recurring theme in Exchange Invest, all in the archive at exchangeinvest.com, which all paid subscribers can access, for example, EI-2988, SEC setbacks. Chronic overreach with chronic underachievement has been the hallmark of the Biden-Harris regime's failures, and the regulatory agencies have suffered too. Mr. Mega Marmite Gazaji was always going to inflame some folks, but his instincts have been broadly sound on crypto. However, vastly expanding the remit of SEC into a feudal lord overseer of all manner of ESG items was always a foolish move. The window looks to be closing on ESG obsession, which means corporations may be able to get back to doing business and seeking to be reasonable about it, as opposed to having social media PR that screams, "We are just so right on." But beneath the surface often merely masks horrible business practices. The vast overexpansion of the SEC remit was a foolish action that deserves to fail, even if there may have been some earnest good reasons behind it. This was not the function ascribed to the SEC as a capital markets regulator and ought never to have been considered in the first place. Equally, due to another court challenge, the US SEC have abandoned in-house malpractice suits after the recent Supreme Court ruling. Over in career news, after 5 years as DB1 chairman, Martin Jeter is going to retire. That'll be after 7 years on the board in 2025. That will complete the total revision of the DB1 top-line management. The broadly unknown Stefan Leitner is already in situ as Theodor Weimer comes close to completing his handover as Deutsche Börse CEO, while your ex-CEO Robert Bougie has replaced Michael Peters and arrived in situ, it seems, instantly native to DB1's exceptionalist protectionist mentality, which has prevailed since it abandoned free market advocacy some years ago. Ed Tilley, meanwhile, formerly from CBO, and fired for not entirely transparently explained reasons, joined as president at Clear Street on July the 8th, and now he's actually been elevated to CEO, as CEO Chris Pinto will assume executive and partner role at Investor White Bay. The new NSE Nairobi Stock Exchange CEO Frank Mwiti has been outlining his agenda for the bourse, and Congress Party in India has accused the SEBI chief Madhabipuri Bukh of corruption. The very fact such headlines are in the Indian press is itself disquieting. And that leaves us elegantly at Big World. A splendid feature of my friend Michael Minnelli's year as Lord Mayor of the City of London has been marked on the first Friday of September as he launched his first Pepys Day. In honour of Samuel Pepys, a remarkable diarist who lived in the city and survived the plague and the Great Fire in 1665 and 1666 respectively. September the 6th marks the day the fires were finally extinguished in the City of London and will henceforth be used to commemorate Samuel Pepys's name. On that day, when finally those fires were extinguished after the Great Fire spread from Pudding Lane to engulf much of the old city, leading to the Wren Renaissance, recognisable as the Square Mile to this day. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast 262. Join us daily via exchangeinvest.com. Or if you have a new exchange you'd like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you all a great week in life and market.
This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations. Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our program, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.